of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. How in the world are you today? I hope that you are doing well and that God has already blessed you. Take a deep breath and say, thank you, God, for that breath you just blessed me with. And may I use the breaths that you give to me to be a blessing to someone else throughout this day and through this weekend. I want to take just a moment to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you are one of those people that you've got a construction project that is going, you need to make sure that you have the right foundation spiritually, and you also need to have a solid foundation structurally. And so I want to recommend to you the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. They have decades and decades of experience doing block and concrete work, and they will do a great job for you. They have a tremendous work ethic, have a tremendous legacy with the contractors in the area of doing great work, and they would do a great job for you. And if you want to give them a call, they can... They can give you a quote, and y'all can see if you can come together on a timeline and things of that nature. 321-536-5804 if you have a construction project that is coming up in the future. You want to listen, if it's coming up in the days ahead, you need to get on it now, because there is a lot of construction going on throughout the county right now. 321-536-5804. I want to invite you out to our services this week. I will be preaching again on Sunday. We have church-wide prayer on Sunday night at 6:30. But we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. We are focusing on hearing what God has to say. And we want to be the best messengers for the Lord that we can. The reason that we are going through this Sermon on the Mount is because some time ago, God, I was praying. I said, God, what do you want me to share on the radio program? And he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So I know that if we do our part, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he's going to do his part. He's going to take care of all of the other needs that we have. I want to take you back to John chapter 6 today. We'll start reading at verse number 60 just for context, and then we will pick up with where we left off yesterday in verse number 62. Verse number 60 says this, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. So we're talking about seeking Jesus here right now, and how some people seek him because of the temporal needs that they have, the needs that are here and now, you know, whether they wanted miraculous food provision, because it's a whole lot easier getting it supernaturally provided than it is going out, tilling the soil, planting the seed, keeping it weeded, making sure that it is proper hydrated, and going out and harvesting it and threshing the grain and getting food that way. It's a whole lot easier to eat what is supernaturally provided than getting a boat, getting a net, mending the net, going out at night when you would rather be sleeping, casting the net, catching the fish, coming back in, keeping the fish in a healthy manner, and making sure that you are able to provide for your family. There's a lot of work to go, and then you got to cook it. You got to clean it. You got to cook it. All that sort of stuff. There's a lot of work. And so they were seeking Jesus because they had tasted of what the supernatural looked like. And they said, man, the supernatural is so much better than the natural. But they didn't realize that Jesus wasn't just looking to be their provider. He wants to be their Lord and their Savior. And so when Jesus starts explaining things to them that are hard for them to understand and they get offended, Jesus knows what they're feeling. And so he starts to address it. He says, if the teaching that I just shared with you offends you, would it offend you if I ascended back to where I came from before? Okay. I don't know about you, but if suddenly I saw gravity lose its grip on someone, that would get my attention. You know, I think that Jesus is saying, look, I provided something miraculous. Is the only time that you're going to not be offended is whenever you see something supernatural? Is that all? Because you can't explain. Okay, now listen, they were offended because they didn't understand the teaching. But they weren't offended that they couldn't explain the miraculous provision of the loaves and fishes. And so Jesus says, well, are you going to be offended if you see me do what it's impossible for any human being to do, and that is to ascend without any sort of propulsion system whatsoever? Are you going to be offended if you see me do something that you can't understand and can't explain? Is that going to offend you? You see, here's the thing. Offended people are generally offended by more than one thing. They're offended by a lot of things. Jesus wants to get down and say, what is it? Why is it that you're offended because you don't understand the teaching, but you also don't understand the miracle? You don't understand the miracles that are going to take place because he did this. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. He did it in the presence of a great multitude of witnesses in the book of Acts. The angels came and said, why are you staring up into the clouds? This same Son of Man that you have seen ascend into the heavens is going to come in like manner again. We're not just supposed to stand there with our jaw open and it's like, never seen anything like that before, Myrtle. We're supposed to say, praise God. If, you know, he's got things that he wants to do in our lives. So don't live an offended life. And he goes on and he begins to identify the real reason that they should have been seeking him in the first place. It is the Spirit, capital S, as in God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The flesh profits nothing. I was talking to some people here a couple of weeks ago, and I said, look, I'm not an expert in the field that person over there is an expert in. I'm the spirit guy. I deal with the spirit. I deal with people, and I'm not even an expert in this. I just know this is my field of specialty, if you will. I want to make sure that people are living spiritually. Okay? So go back. We've already done this once for a different aspect, but go back to John chapter 4, And in verse number 21, it says, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." The spirit gives life. What takes place in your spirit is more important than what takes place in this physical realm. This physical realm can be deceptive, because you could have people who have everything the world has to offer, and they could be miserable in their spirit. They could be still dead in their trespasses and sin. And yet you can take a person who doesn't have two pennies to rub together, and they can be thriving in their spirit. You can have people who don't, you know, they haven't had a challenge in a long time, and yet they're miserable and dead in their spirit. And you can have people that face battles day after day after day, and yet they're thriving in the spirit. It's because the Spirit of God gives us life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. The Holy Spirit always points us to Jesus. If we will be led by the Spirit, if we will walk in the Spirit, if we will march in the Spirit, we will see that the Holy Spirit is going to be bringing us to Jesus, and we're going to experience that abundant life that Jesus wants us to have. And yet, these people are about to miss out on the life that the Spirit of God has to offer them because they're offended, because they don't understand a teaching. Okay? Here's my 2 cents worth for spiritual things that you don't understand. If you're going through the Word of God and you don't understand something, pray about it. Make a note of it. And then continue on with your spiritual journey. If God does not give you greater understanding in a period of time, don't get bogged down there. Say, "God, I want to thank you that you're going to bring me understanding." Daniel prayed. He had a revelation from God. He didn't understand it. He set himself out to fast and to pray, and the answer came weeks later. Don't get concerned about the time frame. God will give us the revelation and the understanding in his timing. Okay? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. I want to tell you that one of the reasons that people do not understand the teachings of God is because they approach it from the wrong perspective. The Word of God is spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you what the Word has to say about the Word. Okay? It says the Word of God is spirit. That's what Jesus says here. And it is spiritually discerned. So my understanding of the spiritual truths of God's Word doesn't come from my brain. It comes from my spirit, being in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, who guides me into all truth. Okay? So it's not our intellect that is the primary source. Our intellect is it's the beneficiary. My intellect benefits from the spiritual revelation that I get from God's Word. And because I now have intellectual understanding, then I operate in wisdom in such a way that it is going to benefit me physically as well. The words that I speak are spirit and they are life, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Okay? So, those are all wonderful little nuggets. Now I want to talk to you about verse number 66 and what happens to all of those people who came seeking Jesus because of the miracles of the loaves and fishes, and they were looking to make him king by force. And just to help you to understand the fleeting nature of men's admiration, okay? You can't get caught up in the trap of needing human affirmation because people are fickle. They change their mind constantly, okay? Listen to what verse number 66 says. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" I want to tell you a 100% guaranteed way not to experience any more miracles in your life. 100% guaranteed way not to experience any more miracles in your walk. Stop walking with Jesus. He's the miracle worker. So if we get so offended because we don't understand something that we stop walking with him, I guarantee you the loaves and the fishes aren't going to be duplicated in your life, but they will be duplicated in someone else's life. See, Jesus didn't just feed the 5,000. He also later fed the 4,000. And there was an abundance left over there as well. Okay? But for these people who had given up on following Jesus because they didn't understand, they were going to miss out on that miracle. Even though they said, "We want you to provide for us supernaturally the way that Moses did. But we don't want to follow you when we don't understand everything." And so I want to encourage you, don't abandon ship. Okay? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Know that he loves you. He shares things with us because he wants us to know them. If he doesn't share something with me in the time frame that I want, it may be because I'm not ready to handle that. I may not be mature enough yet at that point in time to be able to accept the teaching that he has to offer me. One of the things that you may not realize is that there is a tremendous casualty rate of people who go into the ministry. There are a lot of people who feel called into the ministry, and yet by the time they hit retirement age, there are very few of us that make it the entire length of the journey. And I will tell you something. You might see the glamorous side of it, but you might not see the grind of the ministry. It's called the work of the ministry for a reason. And I've made this statement before, and because it's kind of the running joke among pastors, is they didn't teach me about this in Bible college. They didn't teach me about this in seminary, you know. And you know, when you get out, you realize that it's more than just theory, that there's a lot of different aspects to pastoring than what you think that they are. Listen, my pastor only preaches, or he only works one day a week, and that's Sunday morning when he preaches, and he only preaches for about a half an hour. I want you to understand, you're just seeing the plant above the surface. You're not seeing beneath the surface. And so what I've come to realize is that there are a lot of things I didn't learn in Bible college, because if I had learned some of those things in Bible college, I might not have been so quick to get on the journey, because there's a lot of trials by fire. So don't be of such a mindset that says, look, if the going gets rough, I'm getting going. I want you to say, you know what, when the road gets difficult, I know this, that he wants me, he's getting ready to teach me something. He's going to reveal something to me, and I'm not abandoning my journey. There's nothing this world has to offer me that is worth my relationship with Jesus. Okay. You want to know one of the best ways to deal with temptation? Realize that temptation is a trap that's designed to steal from you the blessings of God, and it's designed to entrap you and ensnare you so that your testimony is compromised, so that other people don't put their faith in God. So it makes dealing with temptation a whole lot easier. Okay? There's a reason. I mean, there's lots of reasons why I don't drink alcohol. There's lots of reasons why I don't drink or do drugs. There's lots of reasons why I remain faithful to my wife. And it's because I don't want to do anything that harms me spiritually, them spiritually. I don't want to do anything that's going to harm the church spiritually. And I don't want to be giving the devil ammunition that he's going to use to keep people bound in their trespasses and sin and keep them from spending eternity with Jesus. Jesus looks up at this mass exodus of people that are leaving, and he turns to the 12 and he says this, "Do you also want to go away? Do you also want to go away?" You know, life's filled with choices. Should I stay or should I go? and I can tell you this, you're better off staying with Jesus. I had a situation. It was in 2005, and there was transition going on in the church, and I didn't understand. I mean, the church had been going great guns, and then all of a sudden there was this massive shift across the country, and I didn't understand. And God began to explain some things to me that were about 10 years in the making. And he said, "Do you remember that prayer that you prayed?" I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, and he explained why the prayer that I prayed 10 years earlier was connected to the experiences that I was going through at that time pastoring, because I'd been discouraged in 1995, and I was discouraged again in 2005. And he said, "How many times do you want to go around this mountain?" And I'd read the Bible enough to know I didn't want to go around the mountain over and over and over again. And I was literally painting the church at the time. And I said, "One time is enough." And I started painting faster than I'd ever painted before. Not the only time I'd ever been discouraged, but it was, you know, I approach things differently since 2005 than I did prior to 2005. Do you want to go away? I want to tell you, don't throw in the towel. Don't throw on the towel on God. Don't throw in the towel on your marriage. Don't throw in the towel on your finances. Don't throw in the towel on your kids. Stand firm, stand in faith, and watch what God will do. Verse number 68. This is where we're going to wrap up for the week. "But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" So when considering whether you stay or whether you go, Peter asked Jesus the question, "If we abandon you, where else would we go? If we abandon the one who is the hope of Israel, who else can we go to for hope? If we abandon the God who saves, where else are we going to go that we can find salvation? If we abandon the God who heals, where else are we going to find healing? If we abandon the God who provides, where else are we going to provide supernatural provision? If we abandon the one that loves us, where else are we going to find love? Because there is no other source of love. Jesus, Peter answered, you are the only one who have the words of eternal life. There is no other source. There is no other alternative. And he says, and also we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Believing is great. Believing and knowing on a very personal level that Jesus is not just a man, he's not just a teacher, he's not just a miracle worker, but he is the anointed one of God. He is the Messiah of Israel, the anointed one of God to do great things in your life and my life. That causes us to say, you know what? This is not a fork in the road. This is just a Selah moment. This is just one of those moments where we are going to let the truth of God sink in. And Jesus, I want you to know, we know who you are. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And even if everybody else abandons you, we are not going to abandon you. Now Peter makes that statement again a little while later when Jesus is getting ready to be arrested and crucified. And Peter says, even if everybody else leaves you, I will never leave you. And Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows three times in the morning. Okay. It cannot just be about our willpower. It cannot just be because we've made a commitment. It has to be because the Spirit of God gives us life. The words of God give us life, and we recognize there is no other alternative, no viable alternative. Okay? Some of you may have been walking with God and given up and stopped walking for him. I want to encourage you today. God is a redemptive God. He's giving you another opportunity, and I encourage you to say, God, I'm so sorry. I didn't understand what was going on, but I understand and know you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God, and I want to walk with you. I miss the fellowship. I miss the miracles. I miss the Spirit of life and the words of life, and I want to be a part of it. Come check us out this Sunday, 10:30, Merritt Assembly of God. We'll see you Monday.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
His banner over